Okay, well, I'm back from Florida. It was much warmer there than it is here. While it was not a vacation and I was indoors a lot of the time, it was still nice to look out and see boats and water and palm trees. It's a little more green down there, too. I don't know if you really notice how brown the grass is, right, when you get home from a place like that. But anyway, we have five, I think, including today, we have 5 Sundays till Easter, which is crazy to me. This year is already going so quick. But Easter is around the corner, so this series should get us there or either to Palm Sunday or Easter. I haven't decided yet. But this we're starting a series called Chameleon, and the tagline, Fighting the Urge to Fit In. And I'm hoping that this will bring about some courage, some boldness to stand out and really, as we think towards Easter, invite friends and family who may not have a church home, and just allow us to really discover and kind of investigate what it means to be a Christian in a world where we're kind of pushed to fit in. So that's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 or 4 weeks, and hopefully we'll all get something out of this. So talking about chameleons are uniquely fit to be masters of disguise, right? Chameleons can, everybody know what a chameleon is and you've seen what they do? Golly, 2 of you, really? I say, hey, this is going to blow your minds then if nobody, I'm just kidding. Wake up, guys, it's only an hour, right? You've only lost an hour of sleep. It's not like you got to go to bed. So, if the chameleons can actually change the pigment of their skin to their surroundings, right? They literally are a master of blending in. So they can go from green to brown and white, right? Isn't this crazy that there's something out there that exists like this? They can turn whatever they touch, they just turn into that color. They blend in with whatever surrounding they're in, right? It's insane to me that a creature exists like this. And you would think they have to live probably away from humans because they would get stepped on all the time, right? I mean, you would never see them just kind of browsing through. But that's the point, right? That's their defense mechanism, is to hide, to fit in, to blend in, right? Have you ever wanted to just blend in to the surroundings before? I'm sure you have. I have. What if you went to school? We're going to take a walk through the era of high schools. I'm hoping I got everybody. But if you went to school in the 50s or so, you probably would have blended in by wearing something like this, right? You don't have to say how old you are in this. We don't have to do that. But you just know we're acknowledging it, right? This is how we would have looked, right? If we were in high school in the 50s, we would have dressed something like that. And then in the 60s, it would have moved to some plaid skirts and that kind of stuff. And then on through the 70s, it was the bell bottoms, right? The bell bottoms and everything was brown and yellow and green, right? It was a great time for fashion. It looks like, anyway. But my era was no better. We'll get there. And then in the 80s, the worst one of all, it was the big hair, right? For the girls, the big hair and the jean jackets. And then the boys, it was the mullets and the mustaches. Oh, good times, right? I mean, we should go back. No. Oh, and then so for me, for my era, we had to have, I don't know if any of you are my age, but there was a time where you had to have JNCO jeans and frosted tips, right? That was the thing. The late 90s, early 2000s, it was rough. It was a rough time. And now if you look at any, you know, the Gen Z crowd, they're just kind of blending all of this stuff together and wearing whatever they want. There's no rhyme or reason. And honestly, it's kind of nice. You just dress like you don't care and it's no big deal, right? The frosted tips, though. Have those come back? Molly? No? Okay. Pretty good. Yes. Mullets and mustaches are back. We have it on good authority. Oh, this is great. So, fellas, I mean, it's good stuff. Anyway, the point being, right, that all of us at one point or another have gone to great lengths to fit in, right? We've gone to great lengths. We've bought whatever, you know, however expensive clothes to match the people that we want to match, or however, whatever way we wanted to do our hair or facial hair or whatever, right? We've gone to great lengths to fit in before, and I think we've all been there. And the reason is because how does it feel, right, when you don't fit in? You can say it out. How does it feel when you don't fit into a place? Lonely, miserable, depressing. Say what? Embarrassing, yes, yes. Helpless. Scary. See, these are all not good things, right? That's what we're, no one was like, it's the best, you know? It's the best when I don't fit into a place. No, it's uncomfortable and awkward at bare minimum, right? Uncomfortable and awkward at bare minimum. So, the problem that we have as Christians in this spiritual sense, I mean, the fashion thing's a whole other, you know, but the world is full of patterns that aren't worth fitting into, right? That's the rub that we experience in this world as Christians. The world is full of patterns that aren't worth fitting into. Things like greed, right? Things like anger, jealousy, materialism, dishonesty. All these things that are pushed on us, right? As good things, really, as things that, you know, eye for an eye, you know, the more money you can get, you know, get ahead, you know, want what your neighbor has, want what you see on TV, you know, it's all about stuff. It's okay who you're dishonest with as long as it advances you, right? We're pushed these things as if they're not that bad, and it's the way of the world, and it's the norm. So there's things that we really don't want to fit into in this earth as Christians. That's why God made us as humans, right, and not chameleons. If God wanted us to blend in, he would have given us, you know, ways to blend in and ways to not stand out and ways to just kind of go along with the flow and not be noticed. So the scripture, we're going to be in a lot of scripture today, but the overarching scripture for this series is Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I'm sure this is a familiar verse for you. I'll read it very quickly. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So to conform simply means to assume a similar outward form by following the same pattern or mold or model, etc., right? So to conform would mean to just kind of fit into a system, to fit into a mold and just go about your business, right? But God, through the Apostle Paul, is calling us to not conform to patterns of this world, right? So that is in Scripture where we're getting this tension. So as Christians, we're called to be like Christ, right? I mean, pretty simple, right? Christian means like little Christ. We're called to be like Christ. So that's easy enough, right, to get our heads around. It becomes problematic when we claim Jesus, but we live like everyone else, right? We claim Jesus, but we conform to these patterns. That's when things like the church is full of hypocrites are said, right? Anybody ever heard someone? I've heard someone say that. I mean, now, granted, me probably more than you, because anywhere I go, someone asks, you know, what do you do for a living after a while, and you tell them, and then they immediately do one thing. They stop cussing, which is, I don't know why, but that's what they do. That's their first reaction. Oh, sorry, like that. And then as if I'm, you know, the authority on language or something. But, and then they'll say, you know, oh, I don't go to church. If they don't, you know, if they don't go to church, I don't go to church. That's full. They're full of hypocrites. And, you know, I've been one of those hypocrites before, right? And they have some. There's some validity to that argument. But this happens, right, when we claim Jesus but conform to the world. If people can't see anything different about us, then what's the point, right? God is calling us to be easily identified as Christians, right? We should be easily identifiable by the way we live, by the way we speak, by the way we give our time, energy, money, effort, by the way we love people, right? We should be able, someone should be able to look at us and say, oh, that's somebody that's different than what I see through the rest of the world. So how do we avoid conforming? That's kind of where we're going to land this morning, is how do we avoid conforming? We're going to look at three areas. The first one is to confront your conforming. We're going to look at a story that I've preached once before. We're going to do a shortened version of it here, but first, get ahead of myself. Have you ever tried to be like someone you looked up to? You ever really just tried to, you know, take on that mold? Maybe it's someone you saw in a movie. Maybe it's someone in real life. But you're like, this person is really cool. I want to be like them. And so you just kind of try it on. You absorb some of their characteristics, some of their traits, and it's, you know, it typically doesn't end well. For me, as a young kid in 1992, the movie The Three Ninjas came out. Anybody remember this movie? Oh, great. All right. There we go. So if you were in kindergarten or so when this movie came out like I was, this was awesome, right? There were these kids, and they had this grandpa who was like this ninja master, and he showed them how to be ninjas, I guess, and then they went on a boat and like obliterated like 150 bad guys, right? You know, as three kids would do. Makes sense. But as a little kid, it was like, these guys are awesome, right? And you want to be just like them, and you're running around the house and jumping on the couch and karate chopping everything. But then eventually, right, you have to be confronted with the truth. I wasn't, in fact, a ninja, right? There weren't, in fact, 150 bad guys for me to take down. My grandpa was not a ninja master to teach me the moves, right? You have to be confronted with the truth at some point. The same thing happens with God for us. The same thing in this confronting the conformity, it has to happen in order for us to get on this path to transformation. So in John 4, we see Jesus traveling, and he takes a shortcut, which was not typical, but he goes through Samaria. And as a Jew, that's not a good thing to do, right? So he goes out of his way, he comes to this town, and he gets to this well, and it's about noon, middle of the day. He sees this woman. This woman's here, and she's there by herself because it's noon. You wouldn't normally go at noon to draw water from a well, but this woman is very clearly trying to not be seen. She's trying to blend in with her surroundings, and we'll find out why here in a minute. But Jesus has this interaction with her we're going to read where the truth is kind of, she's kind of confronted with the truth, right? So we're going to read this together, and we'll kind of finish it up. But this is verse 7 through 18. It says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman had said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews did not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." So we see this interaction where this woman clearly is going through this pattern, right? Every day of going to the well at noon, she asks Jesus, when he talks about this living water, she says, I want that, right? I want that so I'm not thirsty anymore and I don't have to come to this well. I don't have to keep blending in with the surroundings and going unnoticed, right? I would like to not have to do this anymore. And then he says, go tell your husband and come back. And, I mean, obviously, setting up for the confrontation. And she says, I have, no husband. And he says, yeah, that's true. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not yet your husband. He says, what you've said is quite true, right? Well, we have to be confronted with the truth. In order to get on the path to transformation, it has to start with confrontation, right? Not in a mean sense or go out and tell people what they're, but inside, within ourselves, we have to confront our conformity at some point, right? If we're going to be on the path to transformation. So, Jesus draws attention to a destructive pattern in this lady's life, right? He just kind of brings it out and just puts it out in the open. Now, we know the story, right? She goes and actually ends up being transformed herself, but is a big part of transforming this entire town that she's in. I mean, Jesus used this lady to do a lot of great stuff. It's not just, he didn't just say, this is bad and left her there. She was transformed. It's just a very long passage that we don't have time to read, but I would ask that you do go and read. It's a really cool story. So Jesus draws attention to the destructive pattern in her life, and that puts her on the path to transformation. So the question out of this first point is, what patterns of yours need confronted today? What do I need to look inside myself and say, that's a pattern I need to probably stop conforming to? Maybe the patterns of destruction. Maybe it's just the pattern of fitting in and not being noticed, or going, just being like your surroundings. Or maybe it's just patterns that lack eternal value. Maybe you're fine, but there's some things you're doing that really aren't investing in eternity, right? So we have to look at ourselves and confront. That's the first step. The second step is that we have to want to get well. So number one is confront your conforming. Number two is want to get well. And we're going to look at another story just the next chapter over. This is John 5, chapter 1 through 9. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Pause. Colonnades are roofs with columns. They're not really buildings, but they're not really, it's like would be like a pavilion, gazebo type of thing all around this big pool. Picturing it? Okay, cool. All right, so it's surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. So, what we see in this story, and there's a verse in there that some of you guys may have and some of you may not have, and that's why I left it out, because it's different translations. But what would traditionally be verse 4 kind of explains the whole pool thing. Certain manuscripts it appears, and others it doesn't, so it's kind of a weird thing that scholars kind of leave out or don't. But basically, this pool was believed to have healing powers, and the water would be stirred, right? And so when the water started stirring, these people who had ailments, blind, they paralyzed, whatever their ailment was, they would try to get in the water to be healed, right? And so this guy, when Jesus says, he says, "Do you want to get well?" He says, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." That's what he's talking about. So for 38 years, or however long this has been bothering him, which is a long, long time, he's been sitting by this pool. Then when the waters stir, he tries to get there to get healed, and he can't, right? And so Jesus, standing in front of him, right, the healer, and all this guy can talk about is the pool, right? He said, well, the pool stirs and I can't get healed. And he said, I want to get well, but I can't. Sometimes we know the truth, but can't see past the patterns we've conformed to. Sometimes we know the truth, but we can't see past the patterns we've conformed to. Have you heard the saying, we can't see the forest through the trees? Right? Same kind of thing. When we're too busy looking at what's right in front of us and what's the immediate obstacle, right? It's in the way of seeing the bigger picture. It's in the way of seeing what might truly bring healing, what might truly bring transformation. In this case, this poor fellow didn't know who Jesus was, right? And in fact, we read on, he ended up seeing Jesus later and then was able to tell the Pharisees that that was who had in fact healed him, right? Jesus kind of slipped off into the crowd after that. But he didn't know that the healing was right in front of him, you know, but all he could focus on was that pool, right? He'd been doing this for 38 years and nothing was changing. And then when the healer comes to him, he says, well, but the pool, right? It's kind of insane when you think about it. You can't see the forest through the trees. When we need transformation, we can't focus on what patterns we've conformed to for so long. We must not forget, see, us on this side of the story, we have access to the one who transforms, right? We must not forget we have access to the one who transforms. To be transformed, we need to look beyond our obstacles. All of us are facing things, adversity, health, finances, whatever it may be. To be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to look past these patterns that have been put in place by the world, because that's not what's going to bring our healing. And it really isn't what has to hold us back either. We just have to stop conforming to that. So what obstacle is causing you to miss out on the transformation in front of you? Second question out of the second point. What obstacle is in front of you that's causing you to miss out on the transformation that's waiting? Number three, the world conforms while the Word transforms. The world conforms while the Word transforms. That's kind of a tongue twister. The world, right, that we live in invites us to a lot of things. It invites us to nicer cars, bigger houses, more money, the latest technology, promotions at work, so on and so on and so on, right? It invites us to all these things to make ourselves better, to promote ourselves, to be, look out for number one, all that, all the stuff, right? That's what the world invites us to. The Word, at the same time, in the same world, is inviting us to experience transformation. So while we're so caught up in these patterns, God's over here saying, just be transformed. Let that stuff go. Don't conform to that stuff. Come to me. Experience real transformation. So who are we turning to for healing? That's the question. Who are we turning to for healing? If we're turning to the world, right, we're just turning to more patterns to conform to, which does not, right, does not bring about healing or transformation. We following? You guys got all still on me again. Okay. The world invites us to more patterns to conform to, which is clearly not what God has in mind for us. The Word invites us to confrontation, which would lead to transformation. Confrontation, which would lead to transformation. Conforming is easy, right? Conforming is easy. If God wanted us to be chameleons, we would all look like this. Some of you would be much prettier chameleons than I would be. But, in fact, all of you in this room would be, for sure. Conforming is easy, right? God wants Christians, little Christs, Christ-likeness, and not chameleons. He doesn't want us to blend into the situation at work that we shouldn't be blending into, or acting just like someone else would act, just so that we feel more comfortable, or whatever the situation. God does not want us blending into our surroundings. He wants us to be easily identified as Christian. A follower of Jesus is easy to identify. So, Three questions to end it on. What pattern needs confronted in your life or in my life or our lives? What pattern needs confronted? What obstacles are blocking your view of Jesus? What is it that you're so hung up on that is of this world that you just can't get around? Maybe it's sin, maybe it's a situation, maybe an addiction, whatever that may be, that you can't, I mean, it's so big and in front of you that you can't see Jesus around it. What's that obstacle in your way this morning? And then last, are you turning to the world or the Word for healing? Would you pray with me? God, we just we thank you for giving us the ability to not just conform, to not just be a part of the background of this world, but giving us the ability and the calling to be identified as Christians, to be identified as something that's different, something that's transformative, something that's better for the lives of people. God, help us to realize that this week as we go our separate ways today and go about our business of the week. Help us to not conform. Help us to be thinking in this manner. What can I do to express my faith in Jesus rather than my faith in the patterns of this world and in the patterns of institutions and things that, you know, maybe my accountant says I should be doing or a CEO, but something that God wants me to be doing. Give us those opportunities this week and help us to take those. God, help us to turn to your word for healing. God, help us to want to get well and to turn to your word for healing and not the patterns of this world. God, we just thank you for the work you're doing. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for allowing us to have a plan and a partnership with what you're already doing here in our community. God, we just love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The band's going to sing. Our altars are always open here. If you feel like God's been speaking to you and you need to respond to that, it's a great place to do it. I just encourage you to take this time and just think and reflect on what God's been saying to you. Would you stand with us?
This next song is called Make Room.